Hello, this is CITR 101.9. This is Vancouver, British Columbia. We are broadcasting from UBC campus, from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And today we're going to start the show off with a live performance. Hope you enjoy it.
Hello, everyone. We are Woodmen, and the song is called Don't Let Me Down by the Beatles.
Don't let me down. She does. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And if somebody loved me like she does. Ya habibi, ya habibi, ya habibi. Don't let me down.
That was great. Thanks, you guys. And we're just going to ask you a couple questions. So one more time, who are you?
We're the Woodmen.
Yeah, we are Woodmen. It's our name.
And how do you spell that? Because it's a little different.
Well, it's because there is a character in there that isn't English.
It's Arabic. It's the first. Well, it's all English except for the second letter, which is a waw in Arabic, which is pronounced as an oo. So it's Woodmen, kind of.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And then how did you guys initially get together as a group?
Well, I've met him like while he bought this guitar.
At a guitar store, yeah. I was buying this guitar.
Yeah, and that's how we got the similar sort of like urge to learn new music and play music. And I met him because he was my neighbor.
Cool.
Back in Gage, and we've been jamming. You know, we just jammed and sort of, you know, when you vibe with somebody musically, it just worked out that way.
Yeah. I kind of moved in with him, and that's how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys want to just say like each of your own names once, so everybody knows.
Yeah. I'm Rob. I was singing and playing the cajon.
I'm Sharong. I'm the singer / guitarist.
I'm Antonio, and I'm on the bass.
Do this one more time.
Antonio on the bass.
Okay, thank you. And then you guys wanted to talk about a show that's upcoming and what we could expect from that.
Yeah, so we're playing a show this Saturday, March 3rd at Backstage Lounge in Granville Island. And if you go on Facebook and you type in Mudmen, type in M-D-M-E-N, and Backstage, the event should pop up.
Yeah.
And you can check more information about the event there and come see us play live.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tickets? Yeah, is it free or?
Yeah, we'll be charging $10 per person at the door. You can certainly expect some good blues and hard rock, some classic rock, some White Stripes, some Zeppelin, some Floyd, maybe even some progressive rock, yeah.
Cool.
Nothing acoustic, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, not like today. Mainly for here.
Okay, yeah, no, for sure. And anything else you guys wanted to say about yourselves before we transition to the next part of the show?
I think we just wanted to say, like, with the name, it sort of comes from a few things. Basically, the fact that we all are from totally different regions of the world, and the Mudmen, it sort of symbolizes that in the sense that mudman is a colloquial term for someone who isn't from the native the region that they're staying. So we incorporated that. It's also a Pink Floyd song, and it also means addict in Arabic.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it kind of says about us. I don't think we need to say more than that.
Yeah, I think it defines us pretty perfectly, that word.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming in again. And we'll be sure to plug the show again before the hour is over.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Yeah, of course.
Backstage Lounge, Saturday.
Okay, Icia, am I going to get you to play a song here that we can put in between? Okay, so we're going to play some Brockhampton, right? Okay, so we're going to play, what is it, Jello? Tokyo? Tokyo? Okay, we're going to play...
Yeah, explicit content.
Oh, yeah, explicit content. Hide the kids, all that stuff. Okay, so here's Tokyo by Brockhampton.
Too many things I'd rather do different. Woke up in a cold sweat, my emotions creeping. 3 o'clock on the weekend, might as well sleep in. Stay down for the count when she hit me with the what ifs and the what wins and the what thins. Wonder where my life went, living in the moment. I've been thinking all my time spent. Are the bills paid? Does it make a break? Will I find a way? Have my feelings changed? Will I be okay? I don't know. But what I do know is, life don't make sense if you can't pay rent. So I place my bed.
What got you shook on this Saturday? I'll take my L and I hold my place. I'll split my L and I go away. You left a spell on my sanity. What got you shook on this Saturday? I'll take my L and I hold my place. I'll split my L and I go away. You left a spell on my sanity.
I got cracks in my phone screen. The past fuck with my psyche. Smoke weed and get high, please. Went to school in the woodlands, and that made niggas wanna fight me. So I don't take threats lightly. Tell them niggas come and find me. Gotta say it in my eye view. New house off iTunes. New money, my perfume. Big smile in a good mood. I've been running out of issues. I ain't tripping when the rent due. I ain't running with a pistol. I ain't locked in the system. Taking care of my kinfolk.
Taking the book out the page of the grave. I'm only human and I'm in my
stage. Testing my flaws that I can't liberate. Talking to time as the pendulum sways. I can deface what I didn't create just cause I can relate. I don't debate, I educate, illuminate what we can't duplicate. No more moving the place. Second chances feeling overrated, unappreciated, so I boast up. Miss the time when we can share space, made it a lot, be straight today, we cross up. Nothing better than some time with you because it's time I never wanna toss up. Lose myself inside of you, you fight yourself and me, I don't wanna be cautious.
What got you shook on this Saturday? I take my
back, and that was a song by Brockhampton. That was Tokyo, and we're going to talk about Brockhampton because quite a few of us in here went to the concert last night, including myself. So IC and I are insane, and we waited for 10 hours outside the Vogue until the door opened, and then the show didn't start until around 9:30, so it was more like almost a 12-hour wait, I guess. Any initial thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, but before I got to the show, I got like snaps from Isaiah, and it was just pictures of Isaac, the host right now, just painted blue. Yeah. Just like totally covered in blue. I was like, why are you guys lining up? It's like 5 o'clock. We've been here for a couple hours. It's like,
yeah.
Doors open at 8. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. What was, like, the line, from what I heard, was, like, five blocks of just... It's an all-ages show, so it was just, yeah, like, teenagers, so as far as the eye can see.
It, when we got there at... We got there before 10, Isaiah and I. There was probably about 15 people already, and the person who was the first person in line, she got there at 5 a.m. 5 a.m., I don't know, because everybody else, like, kind of arrived when we did. And including the people beside us, a couple of people from Vancouver. One guy took the Greyhound from Calgary for 17 hours. Shout out to that guy. He was with us like all day.
Shout out to Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. shout out to Lily and James too, because like those are our first friends yesterday, because it was just us. And then we met more people from Calgary. I met some people from Pitt Meadows. I met some people from Nanaimo. There's people from all over the place, right? But the line initially, yeah, it was like us 15, and then it just started getting bigger and bigger. And then at the point that I saw Andrew here, another guy who's in the room right now, it was going around the block, and then it just went around. And I've been to a lot of concerts at the Vogue before, and I've never seen a line that long, and also that long, like hours and hours ahead of the show. Not even just a couple hours, right? So that's why it was so crazy.
It was funny because there was like a group in front of us that had a group chat, Brockhampton group chat, and they, like, two people were in line, but they brought like 20 people, and there was this line drama. People were getting angry. They were like, we're making deals with them. They're like, we'll let you in front of us because you guys have been here longer. It was interesting. People are very dedicated. I was fine just letting them pass, but like, the guy from Calgary was not fine. He was definitely not fine.
Yeah, he was getting heated.
Yeah.
But
who do you know?
We all worked it out in the end, because when we did get in, we were pretty much on the barrier.
Yeah, and then I left.
I lost
you. I dipped because I was like, I'm getting destroyed.
Yeah. But it was like totally what you expect from a Brockhampton experience. Like everybody was super inclusive. It's just like it felt like a family, because like the reason why I was dressed blue and painted blue, for those of you who don't know, because it probably makes no sense, it's just like in a couple of their videos, that's part of their gimmick. They usually have like orange jumpsuits and the blue paint, and then I couldn't find an orange jumpsuit, so I have a blue one. So I was just entirely blue, and then everybody was calling me like Papa Smurf, and like, is the Blue Man Group here? And Ashlyn, their photographer and a guy who films a lot of their stuff, he asked me, like, oh, do you have my? He's like, do you have my child support? Because everybody's calling me Papa Smurf, and I was just like, what am I supposed to say to that? I was just like, no, I don't. Sorry. And then he's like, oh, and he kind of.
That it. Was like your one chance to get backstage with him. If you had said yes, he would have been like, yo, you want to come beatbox camp? But you like,
no, he was being really like dismissive with people. I feel like he was just like asking people one question, and he went up to like a couple younger fans, I think. And he just interviewed them a bit more, but I haven't, like, they didn't do a vlog for Vancouver last time, so I'm not sure if they would do it this time around. I guess we'll see. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know, I see, like, what was your favorite part of, like, waiting outside during the day?
Waiting outside, my toes, not being able to feel them, that was good. Sour Patch Kids, we ate a lot of those, that was good. I don't know, it was just fun talking to people and, like, just meeting people and, like, I don't know, I feel like in 10 hours, if you're just with someone, you get to know them pretty well, like, quickly. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And I don't know, like, the last hour goes super slowly, so that kind of sucked. But once we got in, it was great and warm and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think, like, yeah, it surprisingly went, like, super fast. The first 9 hours went really fast. But then once it got to the last hour, it weirdly, like, slows down so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, it was, like, the most friendly line, and just like the people around us, just everything was like good vibes.
Were any of you guys at the first show? Because
I was at the first show.
And, like, also, how did it compare to the first show?
I think that I kind of like the first one better, just because it was a smaller venue and it was more hectic in a way, but also less hectic. I don't know how to describe it, but it was like, I don't know, it was just small and like less insane in the like aggressive way, and more like people were like jumping around and like moshing, but it was like one big happy mosh pit rather than like aggressive. It was good though. Mm-hmm. Both were really great, and I loved them both times. It was just like a different experience because it was like a way bigger venue. Mm-hmm. And they weren't as big then, so people were less like intense back then.
Totally. Yeah, I felt like they were kind of equal, but for different reasons. Like they had their own advantages. Like I felt like this show was very like large and loud and grand. Mm-hmm. Especially with a song like Ebony, which was just mm-hmm. unbelievable. But like the sound system was so good. Mm-hmm. And the last show was at the Biltmore, which is a much smaller venue, and the sound is never going to be as good there. But it was a lot more intimate, and it was a lot more like you were just like hanging out with Brockhampton. It didn't even feel like a concert. That's how I felt about the last show.
Yeah. But,
from what I heard, I wasn't there, but the last show, you were literally hanging out with Brockhampton afterwards. Like, my friends have pictures on stage, yeah. Like smoking with Amir, and like he's got pictures with the whole Brockhampton. And I was kind of expecting them to do it at this show because from what I'd heard, they're very inclusive, very you know respectful of their fans. They always want to hang out. Yeah. But so I was like, I hung around a little bit after to see maybe they'd come back out and kind of maybe do some giveaways or like talk to the fans, but. They got off stage and just they were gone. Security came.
I had a friend, Avery. I don't know if you remember. He like his face was blue. You talked to him about being Ethiopian, but he he stayed after for a while, and there was only like a couple people left. And he said Merlin gave him life advice, or no, gave his friend life advice about architecture school. So that was nice. And like I think maybe Dom came out as well, and then Kevin was there, but he was like.
He's probably texting his boyfriend.
He was with his boyfriend, I think. Yeah, Jaden and him just like sprinted away.
I think like the security kind of pushed us out pretty quick.
Yeah, they're like,
that was the thing. They're like, get out, and like flashing lights at us and stuff. But like, I feel like for me, because like I put so much time and effort and everything into it, like it was pretty much perfect. Except I did want to get onto stage for Star because they've been doing that throughout the Love Your Parents tour, the current tour, but. They didn't do that.
Can you rap the whole thing?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to do it right now. But I mean, when you did hear somebody screaming yesterday, it was me like starting the chants and starting Star and Lamb.
That's cool.
Like a bunch of times. Like, that's why my voice is a little raspy right now, because I'm just losing it. But, Eric, what?
Time.
Eric actually said, like, we could just...
Oh, just go through?
Yeah, we could just go through today.
Oh, chill.
Yeah, just to be totally straight about it. Yeah. He just said we can, like, go to the 30, but...
So we don't
anyways.
Have to stop. We don't have to stop.
Yeah, no, we're just going to keep going. Yeah, sick. This is a little irregular, but... So, in terms of the actual show, what were your guys' like, favorite moments, performances, songs?
Bleach was good. I really liked Bleach. I just love that song a lot, and I like how they made us sing it for, like, 2 minutes after it ended.
Yeah. I like... Okay, so the way the show started, it was, like... It just went dark. Oh, no, it didn't go dark. Everyone saw Rommel,
oh, yeah,
I think,
like
Mr. Eyebrows, off to the side of the stage, just hanging out. And then, like, it just went quiet for a second, and then everyone started, like, progressively getting louder, and then the lights just dropped and Boogie started. Holy cow. I've never gone from, like, oh, man, I gotta wait another half hour for the show to start, to, holy crap, the show is starting. I'm so excited in a shorter period of time. It was, like, the best start to a show I've ever seen. And, like, just the energy carried throughout. It was awesome.
Also, that one kind of small skit that Amir had at the beginning, when he walked up to the traffic light that was set up on the stage. There's like a crosswalk light and a traffic light, and he like turned them on, and then he put on his doctor's mask, and then he took it off, and then he just stood in front of the crowd and looked, and then he left or something. Like, it was just insane. Or I think for me, but the favorite moment would be when the fan was called up to the stage to like just hang out and sit on the couch with them, and then they're like, anybody want to say a joke? And then they convinced Kevin to say a joke, and then everybody was chanting his name, and he's like, guys, you need to stop. I'm getting seriously pissed off right now. Like, you guys need to stop. And then he just like got fake mad, and he's just like, the show's over. But my favorite part was the fact that the fan was still on the stage.
Yeah.
And they all left the stage, and the fan was just waiting on the stage. Like, what? So funny.
Yeah, I definitely think, because I was at the barrier, I had some pretty intimate moments with a few of the members. Like,
yeah, you did.
Yeah, no, I actually did. Like, it was really like touching, I guess. Like, I shook Merlin's hand, and he just like, you know, he nodded at me, because like, when there's like one blue guy in the front and like, you're completely blue, like you stand out even in that many, you know, a sea of that many people. And I don't know if you guys have seen the latest vlog, the New York one. But Joba did this weird thing, like, this weird alien, like, I don't know. He does, like, yeah, he, like, sort of like the E.T., like, touching fingers thing. And he was just saying, like, Planet Grievous. And I touched fingers with him, and I said Planet Grievous. And then he started laughing at me. And I was just like, that's cool. And I yelled some profanities at Kevin, and he yelled back at me. So that was nice, you know? Yeah.
It's a nice achievement.
Yeah, met Ashlyn and HK as well, so... Yeah. It was a pretty good show.
10 out of 10, very good.
Yeah. Anything else about Brockhampton you guys want to say? What do you guys think, actually, of the new song that they premiered? That's going to be on the next album.
Which one was that?
When they were all standing and they weren't actually, like, performing the song. They were just, like, standing in a line.
Oh, that's what that was. I'm like, I don't recognize this.
Yeah, same. That was new.
That's okay. Why they were, like, do you know this song or something like that? Kevin was saying like that. Do you know the song? Do you know the song?
And anyone who said yes gets kicked out.
For yeah. Fake fan.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. I was.
You don't remember?
There was some drinking.
Okay. I liked it. It was good. I feel like I need to hear it like four more times, like most songs. But
I mean,
cool.
I think that it sounded. I mean, it reminded me of a Heat, like Heat a lot. Like Amir was like pretty predominant, and it was aggressive. But I definitely need to hear it, you know, on the record later to actually get a good judgment call about it.
True.
So I think I'm just going to ask one more question about Brockhampton for now, at least. Wait, I'm going to have to ask this one. What's your favorite saturation and why? Or if you can't do that, explain why you like each individual saturation or two, if you're picking two.
Real fans like All American Trash. Just putting that out there.
Sure.
Y'all faking.
All American Trash is fantastic. That was the soundtrack to my high school life because I didn't have enough space on my phone for anything else.
I told you, like, I can't pick. Like, each one, Like, one was just, like, the freshest in my mind just because it was, like, the first time you heard that whole era of Brockhampton. But then, like, second's, like, the most catchy to me. But third's weird. Like, Sister Nation and stuff, songs like that are, like, really different from what they did in the other two. So I just appreciate how in the third one they kind of took a new approach, I guess. And
any of the other guys listen to Brockhampton at all or know who Brockhampton is?
I have not.
Okay. No. Okay. Fair game. Just
like,
yeah, check out Brockhampton. They're hip hop, but it's like it's
they're
not
a boy
like
band,
any other hip hop
you
listen to.
They're a boy band.
They're just like they blend a lot of stuff together.
I really
they have
can't
random,
like
pop ballads in there. They don't really care. I feel so they
yeah.
do what they want.
They have like 15 influencing members, so that's why it's just
it's
all over the place.
Like they take influence from like Odd Future. Outkast, MIA, Wu-Tang, like everything.
Old Kid
like
Cudi,
everything.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's good.
Like, they definitely have their own sound going for them.
Yeah. We talk about them pretty much every week on the show. They come up at some point.
That's true.
But now
I feel
it's,
like
it's actually justifiable today.
Yeah, today is. I wish we had, like, the air horns going off. Like, we have a big reveal. Hey, guys, guess what happened last night?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a good show. If you guys haven't checked it out, what are you doing?
Yeah.
are you doing? Just check them out. Brockhampton.
Yeah.
All caps.
At this point, like, I know that at the start of 2017, they had like, about 50,000 followers or listeners, I mean, per month. And now it's millions, over 2 million. And what they've done, I think, like, the perfect way to say is unprecedented. Like, of course, like, I like All American Trash, too. Like, I love it, too. But what they did with Saturation, the whole trilogy, that's what really, like, brought them up. And made them blow up because they released 3 albums in a year, and
Saturation.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy. So, yeah, we love Brockhampton. So I think we're gonna move on. We're gonna do a PSA, and then we're gonna play a couple songs from a guest that we have in today. So keep listening. Thank you for listening. Here's a PSA.
Then my son said, "Heart on Carolina," where she howled about the Pender County line, and her six-string fingers ran the length of the some boy's body.
Well, I mean, it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Fighting, I'll defend your pride.
do your best to try and scare me. I won't run and hide. To warn me, say I'm walking blind. But other girls, they tend to bore me, and all I love your mind. I know that it'll kill me in the end, but it's always your direction that I.
Sorry for a couple of technical difficulties there, Sam. Our system is just a little old. And we're going to come in now with a song from a guest that we have. And he'll introduce himself in a few minutes. So what are we going to play, Isaiah?
Do you...
Jump.
Jump by Andrew.
Jump. It's yeah. Just jump one time. So we're going to play Jump by Andrew Mulat. And we'll be right back, and we're going to interview Andrew today.
Explicit
warning content. Thank you. I always forget. Hi, the kids.
It's the hardest to remember.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. Okay, here we go. This is Jump.
Fitty was the man. Rap about East and West, and who's the best MC to be tested on by Fun Flex. I'm just trying to get up on some complex shit, but now I spend coupons on Poupon to flex it. Dijon is nuanced by vocal inflection. What? Shit sounds way too bad and bougie. What? Yes. My town staying hella groovy. What? Yes. My town always living loosely. Glide, slip, drop, living loosely. Y'all trying to fly like you folded. Straight edge only gets you one place. If you're staying complacent with only living in the moment, I'll be swimming in.
I know I would never get back, I know. But the shit you say is powerful. What's the way that you speak? What's the way that you say my name? Public? I know I was never back that action. Now I got endless time to give. What's the way that you speak? What's the way that you say my name?
Everybody screaming, oh, cause they thinking that they won. They stuck in binary while we in the quantum. My niggas about to die like I'm fucking LMR. Fast boy on that skirt, Russian oligarch. We zip the class so spastic, so fast that we look like stretch of plastic. Or Mr. Fantastic, elastic flow next to classic rhyme scheme. An overrated term to put between some words that boast about your versatility. I ain't doing that. Astronauts of the 21st century, they asking cops if they got any extra weed. Damn, the rules. rules really seem stretchy. Gomu gomu no riding around with the homies. Homies? Soju ga doi samatsu. Hit the naughty bang and you know that we hit the note. I don't know about the lyrics though.
I know I would never get it back. I know, but the shit you say is powerful. What's the way that you speak? What's the way that you say my name in public? I know I was never but that action. Now I got hella smug to give away. So what's the way that you speak? What's the way that you say my name in public?
This is CITR 101.9 at UBC from Unceded Musqueam Territory. I'm Isaac, and that was a song by Andrew Mulat. And he's here with us today. That was Jump. Doesn't... Oh, thank you. Sorry, my bad. So Andrew, what's up?
What is up? How's it going?
Pretty good. Obviously, we know who you are now, so do you want to just provide a bit of a background where you're from?
Where I'm from? All right, well, I grew up in Port Moody. That's Tri-Cities, so it's just east of Vancouver, greater Vancouver area, and went to high school, did all that, you know, pretty ordinary stuff, made music all throughout high school and middle school, and now I'm here at UBC, and first year. Making music, having fun, doing classes.
Okay.
And so you're living on campus?
Yes,
while you're making new music?
Yes, I am.
What's that setup like?
I think it was kind of like a coin flip. I got pretty lucky. My floor is pretty chill with it, I guess. But I try to be considerate, usually. But yeah, I do have like the bare minimum for what you need in like a music recording studio in a dorm. Yeah. Kind of cuts like the room size in half, like again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember when I first came to your dorm, I was like, whoa, like the music takes up the room.
Yeah.
Like you don't notice anything else just because of the speakers and everything and the keyboard and all of that. So you said middle school, is that when you first started making music?
Yeah. Well, I'd played music since I was, I was six. I started playing piano. I never really like got that good, but the background in it was really useful, and I like transitioned to other instruments like bass guitar, guitar, drums, trumpet, whatever. Once again, never really got like super good at any of them, but having a background in them is so like powerful for when you're composing, especially in like a recording arts sense. But recording arts I started when I was 11. So in the first year of middle school, with my buddy Kevin Hackett, we started doing covers of rap songs, and it was hilarious. Our voices were high as hell.
Yeah.
When you say cover, like you mean like you're playing the instrumental for like "Lose Yourself" by Eminem and rapping Eminem's parts over it?
Okay, so we wouldn't at that time.
That's kind of cool.
No, at that time we wouldn't actually do the instrumentals. We would just rip the instrumentals, or we would try to find them from somewhere.
Yeah.
I remember we did like The Show Goes On by Lupe Fiasco. Yes. That one's really funny. That one's so funny. I remember like I layered my vocals like 10 times over that chorus to sing it, and everybody made fun of us because I sounded like I had a British accent for some reason, but like I wasn't even trying to. But yeah, I started making beats off to the side. I was kind of dissatisfied with just doing covers. I always thought that was kind of corny. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm gonna start like if you're just taking the instrumental and doing the cover, then it's just like what. But
yeah,
I started making beats on the side, and then that kind of slowly transitioned into only making beats, and that's and rapping over my own or singing over my own music as well.
Yeah, when you're talking about these different things that you do, and I think it's interesting how, you know, we just heard a song where you rap, but then last night when we were talking after the Brockhampton show, this is actually relevant to Andrew. So you said, oh, when he played Ebony, when Barefellies played the Ebony part of Team, you're like, well, that, like, I really connected with that, but it's so different from rapping. And we've had this conversation sort of before that's going to lead up to this question, but how important do you think the versatility is as an artist, you know, not just with instruments, rap, but also rapping, singing, your voice, and also when you're talking about production? I know this is a big question, but we've talked about this a bit before, so I just want to hear what you think about versatility.
Versatility, I mean, I think that I would say like an equation that you could use is versatility equals longevity. I would say that's like the most solid thing. Like, you look at Kendrick, for instance. Like, how many voices does Kendrick Lamar use when he raps? It's just unprecedented. There's like five different unique tones and intonations or styles that he uses, whether he's like very kind of like disoriented like this and he's going up and down, or if he's like just like talking really high or really low if he's pitched down. And I think that versatility that he has creates a very lasting career for him. He can stay relevant for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, the classic idea of like a one-hit wonder is an artist who is not capable of being versatile, of switching it up, because their second song might just be the same as the first. And not many people really want to hear that, at least for too long.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of just people around you and everything, like Kevin, both in the music scene and just also on a personal level, who inspired you to make music? Who are your inspirations?
Ooh, that's good. I think I've got to say Kanye has got to be one of the biggest for me, which is kind of, I guess that's, yeah, it's definitely Kanye. But as time went on, like, that was my initial, I would say, inspiration. But as time went on, I mean, shortly after, it was Childish Gambino or Donald Glover, who I respect as like one of the greatest artists of our generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Or creatives just in general. Yeah. And then like Frank Ocean, just unfathomable how amazing his art is. And of course, Brockhampton as well. I think like as time goes on throughout when I made music, you can really actually hear those influences on my music. And now you can hear a lot of like Brockhampton, as they are the most recent kind of influence.
Yeah, I see. Do you have a question for Andrew?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, your music video for Jump has a very like particular like cool aesthetic, and I was just wondering how important like have an aesthetic or like how consistent you keep it and stuff like that is to you.
Ooh, that's big. I'm really big on that. I think that's like half of making music, kind of, just the PR side of things, I guess you could kind of define it as that. Starting music with my friend Kevin, we actually, before we even recorded music, we actually just made album art on like an iPhone 2 or something like that.
That doesn't even exist.
This does not exist. Okay, like an iPhone 3 or something. Like, I just remember sitting in church with him, and we would be making like
little album covers with like, it was so funny because the pen size was like huge. So it would just be like big stick men, and we'd be like, yeah, The Break. Like, this is our album. But yeah, like I think since the beginning, it's been really important to us, and it's like an integral part of how we present ourselves, that like we are very calculated and very measured about it, and that everything is intentional. But that's also kind of changing because I've actually kind of learned recently to embrace kind of like the more trashy aesthetic or trashy look to things, where nothing like things don't have to be as official anymore. They don't have to look like a polished set of like artwork. Like your album art doesn't need to look like it was taken in a studio or it was very intentionally made. You can use the blurriest picture now, and it's appreciated. So I think that's definitely started to change, and that's why you kind of have like a bad, like part of the Jump music video is like just bad. Like it's like you can enjoy it, I guess, but really though, half of the time it's just not good. Like there's one zoom where it's not even like it's straight just like a digital zoom on like the post editing or the editing software. You just like zoomed in, we just like increased the size of the footage, and it just looks so trashy. It's hilarious, but I don't know, there's something cool and beautiful in that too, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, because like last night at Brockhampton you mentioned you had like a little digital camera, and I asked you about it, and you're like, it's a new wave. Like,
yeah,
first it was like Polaroids and then it was film, now it's gonna be like old, like 2004 digital cameras. So are you like always looking for like the next thing before it happens, or like do you just like the blurry aesthetic?
I mean, I think the camera is pretty cool. It's just like fun to have around. It's just like the classic mom's camera from like 2004 that they just like break usually. But like that's, I don't know, that something about it to me is really intriguing, and I don't know if I would necessarily say it's like the next thing. I like to describe it as that, kind of as a joke, but yeah, I wouldn't say we're searching for that necessarily, because I don't know, that's, it's hard to explain. I think there's like something about looking for the next thing or actively searching for that that's like kind of like corny.
Yeah, that's fair. I just kind of had a question, because you guys started out, and I know your friend Kevin does a lot of album artwork and artwork in general. What's the creative process behind going into a song? Do you just focus solely on the music, or is it kind of, I have this aesthetic in mind, I have this art, I have this message I want to get across, I have this sound I want to get, and I want to combine them all together? Like, what is it kind of different every time, or do you have a process to it?
It is very different, but there are common themes. And that's actually a really cool question. The last project that I was working on, Loser, which unfortunately will not be dropping and didn't drop when it was supposed to, that project was actually kind of based on what was almost like a movie to me. And each song is representative of the integral scenes in that movie. Not only representative, but like that's what they were to me. And so in the process of making it, I would just visualize and try to translate that into music. This project that I'm working on right now, Ultra AVX, kind of hinted, it's kind of out there, but it's, the songs are almost made into their names. I like names of songs. And so sometimes I'm like, this is a cool name for a song, I'm going to make a song into it. And you just kind of like design the song after the name. So it's more random, it's less cohesive, but it's kind of cool. I don't know. So I think there's usually something that I need to kind of set myself up to facilitate songwriting, whether it's the song name or like a scene idea or whatever.
I think that's a great answer. The whole movie analogy is like a great way of explaining it. And I think what makes music so powerful is like there is a time for like the hits and the poppy songs. They don't really have much content, and there's a time for songs and music that is just full of meaning, but what's most important is that you have the balance between them, and that you can deliver that in a way that is appealing and it sounds good, and that can be popular and that you're proud of. Mm-hmm. That's what's most important, I think, and that's how you can be successful. Just moving on, we got 10 minutes left, so I'm gonna hit you with this last question for now, at least, so we can fit in the unreleased song.
Woo!
Coming up for sure. So pretty much, what is next for you as an artist? What's coming up?
I'm looking at a project. Hopefully, I mean, it's pretty unrealistic. It's pretty an unrealistic goal for me, but I really want to do it, so it might just happen to release this project, Ultra AVX, within the school semester. I think it's really cool. I think it would be really cool to be able to, like, release music while in school to kind of feel the reception.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the plan. And I'm really looking at my options as far as, like, finding a balance between, like, education and music. And whether that means, you know, maybe taking a break from school for a bit, just doing music and working, or coming back later. I have no idea. I love both. I love education. I love music. I love both things so much. And it's really hard to kind of figure out how I'll divvy up my time. But I know one thing's for sure is that my focus right now, my brain is just so focused on music. And that's one thing I'm, like, not as in control of.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I can see that because, you know, pretty much how we met. I've told this story before. I'm just going to go over it again. But,
yeah.
Like, we met after our Poly 100 exam, and you're in STT with a few of my friends. And I was talking about the Jhené Aiko concert, yeah. And you're like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, this guy is, like, crazy, like hyper and,
yeah,
like,
dude.
Passionate. And then we just talked, and then... Yeah, now we're here, and who would have thought, right? And I mean, pretty much when we hang out, we're just like, you always like, oh, what do you think about this? And like, I think like AVX is sounding good, but you don't want to rush it. Like, it's good to have the goal.
Yeah.
Like, that's ambitious, but yeah, you want to be definitive about it. You want to be sure and certain.
True.
But definitely coming along, and if it does come out, you know, when we still are on, we're on the street during the semester, we'll definitely play a couple tracks.
Sweet, sweet.
Get that in there, because... We love to support UBC students. We love to support Vancouver artists. You know, that's a huge part of CITR. That's really important to us.
Great. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And do you want to play this unreleased track now? Do you have a title for this track?
Yeah. So the title for this track is 333, the letter 3, 3 times.
Shout out to the venue.
Shout out to the venue.
Yeah.
That's the...
Yes.
That's a great place. Andrew Mulat, 333. And explicit content.
Yes, thank
Beware.
You. Explicit
Hide
content.
The children.
Hide the kids. Hide the kids. All right, here it is.
Past my tail, for real. Nigga about to get himself killed. Chill.
my town. Do you know your very presence gon' damage my town? We fertilizing while you tree tapping my town. Before I knew it, everyone was sapping my sound. From the message I put out, I'm plotting every hour of the clock and out. I'm trying to be the target that these fucks be talking about. Who the show about? Is it not mine? Show me why. Cause I'm trying to be the best rapper alive. But real G's moving silent, so I'm moving quickly. Kodak rolling peace, buddy, keep with the stick, please. Miss me with that bull, talking glicky, got the stippy on hold. Spilling on these niggas, sticky red bull. Pretty much the most dangerous thing I play with. Now I'm in range of bitches trying to get plays in. I ain't about that action junk, I ain't gotta say it. But rap ain't about hands, it's about what niggas saying. I am ill, sicker than a hospital, for real. This nigga about to get himself killed. Chill, I'm trying to get my crown like Will. Prince of my town like Will. Y'all tryna steal. Rapper tryna walk past my tail. For real. Nigga about to get himself killed. Chill. Tryna get my crown like Will. Prince of my town like Will. Like Will.
We're gonna do it like this. Just rock with me now. Head down, feeling alright. Got my edges on tight. It's a party tonight. Feeling good, yeah, I'm feeling polite. And we're moving all night, all night, all night. Head down, feeling alright. Got my edges on tight. It's a party tonight. Feeling good, yeah, I'm feeling polite. And we're moving all night, all night, all night. People like to stay.
That was a song by Raven Lene. What was that called, Isaiah? Was The Night Song by Raven Lene. And we're just going to quickly wrap up here with our guests. So, Andrew first.
Yeah, word. Andrew Mulat. You can find me almost anywhere.
with what I have out, SoundCloud. You can also look up August Cooper